The summer of 1944 brought terror from above to the mountains of northern Yugoslavia, but not in the way you'd expect. Young American airmen tumbled from burning B-24 bombers, their planes torn apart by German flak during raids on Romanian oil fields. Claire Musgrove found himself trapped in his ball turret, frantically hand-cranking the mechanism while watching the ground rush closer. When his parachute failed to deploy, he clawed at the silk with bare hands in freefall, finally catching air just moments before impact. He landed in a foreign land where military intelligence had warned him the locals would torture and kill any Allied personnel on site. What happened next defied everything he'd been told and would remain classified for 2 decades. Over 500 Allied airmen found themselves protected by Serbian villagers and guerrilla fighters who risked genocide to shelter them. The rescue operation that followed was so extraordinary that when Tom Hanks learned about it, he declared it too incredible even for Hollywood. Richard Fellman braced for capture as bearded Chetnik fighters surrounded him. He'd been warned they were Nazi collaborators. Instead, they embraced him like family, shouting, "Amerikansky," and offering plum branky. Mike McCool expected death when locals approached with farming tools, only to be smothered with kisses. When Germans took 20 villagers hostage, demanding the Americans be surrendered, the Chetnik response was unwavering. The Germans will kill who they wish. Villagers offered their best food and beds, often sleeping with livestock so the airmen could rest. One elderly woman grabbed McCool's hand, kissing it while sobbing. A Serbian officer explained, "She sees you as her own son. Many have lost children to this war." By summer 1944, hundreds of airmen had converged in Pranjane. With little to do except avoid German patrols, they whittled corncob pipes and helped with fieldwork. As weeks dragged on, depression set in. General Mihailovic sent regular radio messages to Allied command, but received no evacuation assistance. Desperate, the airmen transmitted, "SOS, 150 members of American crew have been waiting for rescue." After 2 days of silence, Thomas Oliver developed elaborate codes using insider knowledge only their squadrons would recognize. A response finally came: prepare reception for 31 July. But as days passed without further word, hope began to fade. George Vujnovich wasn't supposed to be a hero. The Serbian-American OSS agent had studied medicine in Belgrade before the war, fleeing occupied Europe with his wife Mirjana. When she wrote from Washington about rumors of hundreds of Americans being protected by Mikhailovich, Vujnovich felt a personal connection. He'd once been trapped behind German lines himself. The Office of Strategic Services was perfect for such an impossible mission. Founded by Wild Bill Donovan, the OSS assembled an eclectic mix, wealthy blue bloods alongside street fighters, including Notre Dame fullback Jumping Joe Sivoldi and future chef Julia Child. Vujnovich assembled a three-man team: George Musulin, a former football star who'd already worked with Mikhailovich, Mike Rajicic, who spoke the language, and radio man Arthur Jabilian, a combat veteran. British and Russian opposition nearly killed the mission. Churchill personally blocked Vujnovich from leading it. When Roosevelt hesitated, OSS Director Donovan was blunt: "Screw the British, let's get our boys out." Roosevelt agreed, and on July 14, 1944, the Aircrew Rescue Unit was born. 2 years earlier, Mihailovich had graced Time magazine's cover as the greatest guerrilla fighter of Europe. By 1944, he'd fallen from Allied favor, replaced by communist leader Josip Broz Tito. Haunted by Serbia losing a quarter of its male population in World War I, Mihailovich avoided mass uprisings that would trigger German reprisals. When 3,000 civilians were executed for sabotage, his caution deepened. Tito attacked aggressively regardless of civilian cost. Soviet mole James Klugman sabotaged Mihailovich from within British intelligence, falsifying reports to make Tito look heroic and Mihailovich traitorous. At the Tehran conference in December 1943, Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin withdrew support entirely. While Mihailovich sheltered American airmen, the government those airmen served was abandoning him to communist rivals who would later execute him. The man risking everything to save American lives had been branded a Nazi collaborator by the nation he was helping. After five failed attempts, Musselin's team parachuted into Prangene on August 2, 1944. Musselin crashed through a chicken coop, Rajicic tangled in a tree, Jabilian landed in corn. The airmen erupted in cheers, but celebration turned to urgency. Not 150, but 250 men awaited rescue, with more arriving daily. German garrisons sat 12 miles away. The landing strip was a nightmare, a narrow plateau halfway up a mountain, surrounded by woods and a sheer drop-off. C-47s needed 700 yards minimum. 250 airmen and 300 villagers worked with bloodied hands and few tools, hauling rocks in 60 ox carts, sprinting for cover when German planes appeared. After 6 days, Musselin declared them ready. On August 8th, radio man Jabilian sent word to Bari, 6 planes tomorrow night. The response? Confirmed. Now they could only wait and pray the strip would hold. At 10 p.m. on August 9, engines roared overhead. Wild cheers erupted from men hidden along the airstrip. Only 4 planes appeared instead of 6. 2 had turned back with engine trouble. The first plane overshot the runway and aborted. The second dropped hard at the runway's edge, using every foot to stop. As emotional goodbyes unfolded, airmen spontaneously removed boots and jackets, tossing them to astonished villagers in felt slippers. The planes barely cleared the treetops on takeoff. The next morning brought 30 P-51 Mustangs and P-38 Lightnings, providing cover while attacking German positions. Over 6 months, Operation Haliart rescued 512 personnel, the most successful rescue mission in history. Yet rescued airmen were ordered to maintain strict secrecy, not to protect ongoing operations, but because acknowledging the mission meant crediting Mihailovich, whom the Allies had officially branded a Nazi collaborator. After the war, rescued airmen fought to defend Mihailovich's reputation. Despite testimony from 20 airmen and written statements from 300 more confirming no Nazi collaboration, Yugoslavia barred Americans from his trial. On July 17, 1946, Mihailovich faced a firing squad at dawn, accused of treason for resisting communism. His final words, "I strove for much, but the gales of the world have carried away both me and my work." Across America, men like Tony Orsini wept, feeling the free world had abandoned their savior. Unknown to them, President Truman had posthumously awarded Mihailovich the Legion of Merit in 1948, recognizing his rescue of American airmen and resistance against 24 German divisions. But the State Department, worried about relations with communist Yugoslavia, classified it secret, the first time in the decoration's history. The medal remained hidden for nearly 20 years, until Congressman Edward Derwinski forced its declassification in 1967. In 1997, British documents confirmed Soviet mole James Klugman had systematically sabotaged Mihailovich's reputation with fabricated intelligence. In 2005, Mihailovich's 78-year-old daughter, Gordana, finally received her father's medal in a small private ceremony. Elderly American airmen gathered around her, weeping with gratitude. Arthur Jabilian remained frustrated the State Department kept it private. Even 60 years later, they were reluctant to honor Mihailovich publicly. His anger softened when he met Claire Musgrove's grandson, who noted that without Mihailovich and Operation Haliart, he would never have been born. The Forgotten 500 reminds us that courage often lives in history's margins, in unmarked graves and classified files. Those Serbian villagers who slept with livestock so American boys could have beds understood that humanity transcends borders.